Saturday Night Theatre begins at 8:30 in a minute's time. This is the BBC Home Service and the British Forces Network in Germany.
Saturday Night Theatre. We present Barry Foster and Derek Bond in Torment, a radio play by Philip Levine. Torment.
Flora, have you seen Ralph?
He went out, Mrs. Ellinger.
Did he say where?
No, never does these days. He used to be such a sociable creature. Now I'm lucky if he says hello or good morning. Oh, young people.
You haven't forgotten Mr. Ellinger and I will be out this evening.
No, he did mention something about it last night. It's your anniversary, I gather.
Yes. We're driving into Norwich for the evening.
Oh, that should be nice.
Oh, nothing spectacular. Just dinner at the Star Hotel. How long ago did Ralph leave?
Well, must be at least half an hour. He drove up towards the cliffs.
Oh?
From what I hear, he's always up there.
About the evening meal, you better lay on something cold for Ralph in case he's late.
Yes, that's what I had in mind.
Oh, Brenda, my feet are killing me.
Oh, me too.
Oh, I think I've got a blister on my heel.
I wish we'd have stopped at Great Yarmouth.
Oh, don't blame me, Daff. You were the one who wanted a hike to Cromer.
How far is it on to the next place? Have you got the map?
Yes. It's Wintersley. Oh, that's about 5 miles.
Oh, I'd give anything for a lift.
Oh, it looks as though your prayers have been answered. There's a car coming down the cliff road.
It's a bit tatty, isn't it?
Well, thank heavens for small mercy.
I will, if it stops.
Oh, there's a young bloke driving. Nice looking, too.
I wonder if he prefers blondes or redheads.
He can take his choice. If we can't make him stop, we ought to give up.
Just you watch this.
Hey! Hello! Hello. Are you going as far as Wintersley?
What do you want?
Oh, a lift to Wintersley, if you could manage it. We'd be ever so grateful.
Well,
Well, there's only the two of us, me and my friend. Oh, here she is now.
What? No. No, I'm sorry, I can't.
What? But it's not very far.
Let go of the door.
Oh! Well,
what happened, Brenda?
I don't know. He took one look at you and slammed the door. Do you know him?
No, I've never seen him before. He was a bit het up, wasn't he?
Het up? I'd say he was round the bend.
Excuse me.
Yes?
There's a police station around here somewhere, isn't there?
In there, turning opposite.
Yeah.
On the other side of the road. Well, you might say thank you, young man.
Oh, Constable Bartley.
Sir?
Have you filed away those charge sheets?
Oh, just done the last of them, Sergeant.
Now, what about that accident at Hemsby? Has the cyclist been in?
Oh, yes, I got his statement.
Can I...
It was a pedestrian's fault. Look that about that.
Yes, I thought as much. Oh, look, there's someone at the counter. See what they want of.
Yes, sir.
Afternoon, sir. Can I help you?
Yes, I want... I'd like... Look, is there a senior officer I could talk to?
What's it about exactly, sir?
I'm sorry, it's difficult to explain. I'd like to talk to a senior officer, if I may.
Oh, well, just hang on, will you?
Yes.
Hey, Sam.
Yep.
That young bloke wants to talk to a senior officer. Will you handle it?
Well, what's he want?
He won't say.
Oh, all right. Let me have that secret statement as soon as you can, will you?
Yes, sir.
Now, sir, what can I do for you?
Now, look, this isn't easy. I've come to give myself up.
Oh? And for what, may I ask?
Well, I don't know how to... Well, you see, it all happened nearly a year ago. I killed someone. A girl.
You did what?
I killed a girl.
Well, do you mean? By accident?
No.
Well, where is she?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I threw her body into the sea.
Whereabouts?
Off the cliffs, a few miles from here.
Ah, I see.
Well, what do I do? Just stand here? Aren't you going to take me into custody?
For the moment, just come round this side of the counter, will you? And through here. That's the way. Now, just wait in there, will you? I'll be with you in a minute.
Did he say he killed a girl, son?
Don't bother me now, Bartley.
Ah, must be off his head. I read about cases like that in the police gazette.
Just get on with that report. There's a good lad.
Ah, yes, son.
Hello? CID office? Is Inspector Hadley there? Sergeant Lumsden here. Well, get him for me, would you? It's important.
Here's a statement, son.
Drop it in the tray. That's it. Hello? Inspector Hadley? I'm sorry to trouble you, sir, but I got a young bloke down here in the interview room. He marched in here not 5 minutes ago and, well, prepare yourself for a shock. He says he killed a girl. Yes, you heard right. A girl. No, about a year ago. Well, I wouldn't have thought so, sir. He is a bit on edge, but I wouldn't have said he was a nutcase. Fine, sir. I'll do that right away. Bartley, that's our statement form.
Yeah, sir.
Ah. Oh, Inspector Hadley should be down in a sec. Oh. Yes, it's all right, son. If you want to smoke, go ahead.
Like one?
No, not for me, thanks. So far I managed to lay off. Just grab a chair, will you? That's the way. That's it. Now, first, let's have your name.
Ralph Ellinger.
You mind spelling that?
Ellinger.
Gee, I got Ellinger. Now, your age?
22.
Occupation?
I'm doing nothing at the moment. I was a student. Law.
Law. I see. Oh, hello, Inspector.
Sergeant.
Now, that's as far as I got with the statement, sir.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Should I buzz off, sir?
No. I'd like you to stay, if you will.
Very good, sir.
Ralph Ellinger.
Yes.
Well, now, what's all this about, Mr. Ellinger?
Well, I've already made a statement to the sergeant.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd like you to repeat it for my benefit.
About a year ago, I killed a girl. I've come to give myself up.
You've left it a little late, haven't you?
Well, does that make any difference? I'm here now. My head, it's splitting.
Oh. Would you like some water?
No, thanks. I'm all right.
Well, sit down, will you, Mr. Ellinger? Now then, this girl you say you killed, who was she? Local girl?
No.
Well, what was her name?
Her name?
Yes, her name.
Peggy.
Peggy who?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I'd only just met her. I picked her up one night in the car.
Where?
On the road from Norwich.
Is it a habit of yours to pick up girls late at night?
No, of course not.
Well, if she wasn't a local girl, where did she come from?
Ireland.
Ireland?
Yes, she'd come over here to work during the summer.
Where?
Oh, some hotel, the Queen's in Yarmouth.
See, you've got that, Sergeant.
Sir.
What was she doing on the Norwich Road?
Hitchhiking from Liverpool. Well, Yarmouth was a little out of my way, but I said I'd give her a lift.
Go on.
Well, we stopped off at a pub for a drink and we got quite pally. A couple of gins and you'd thought we'd known each other for years. After we left the pub, we chatted for a bit. And then a few miles from Yarmouth, she let me kiss her. And then, well, I really can't explain it. I had my arms around her, but I couldn't let her go. Mm. She became frightened and started to struggle, and the next thing I remember, my hands were around her throat, and I felt my fingers tightening. Well, I knew what I was doing, but for some reason I couldn't stop. And suddenly she was quite still, and I knew she was dead. I must have sat there for about an hour. And then I drove up to the other side of Winsersley and threw her body over the cliffs. I watched the newspapers like a hawk, but there wasn't a word. At first I tried to push it into the back of my mind and pretend it didn't happen, that it was a bad dream.
Are you sure it wasn't?
Of course I'm sure. For heaven's sake. I killed that girl. Look, there's no doubt in my mind. I killed her, believe me. For a time I thought I could live with it, but now I can't sleep or work, and it's become unbearable. The girl's face never leaves me.
Describe her.
Oh, green eyes, pretty red hair, a gentle voice. Sweet kid, 19, 20, no more.
Well, this could be a very serious matter. You realize that, don't you, Mr. Ellinger?
Of course, but I had to come here. I don't care what happens to me.
Well, for the moment, just let's stick to the fact, shall we? When did this happen exactly?
It was at the end of June last year, the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
I came down from Cambridge for the summer vac. When I got home, the house was empty. My father was abroad.
What on? Business?
No, on holiday with my stepmother.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was a bit depressed, to tell the truth. So I drove into Norwich for the evening. I took in a film. Then I picked up this girl on the way back.
What part of Ireland did she come from?
What? She didn't say.
Well, what did you talk about?
Oh, all sorts of things. She left home and had no intention of going back. She was hoping to settle down here.
Now, how was she dressed?
A light coat with large buttons down the front.
Any hat?
No hat. And, oh, well, everything else seems pretty hazy.
Hmm. Well, just stay where you are, Mr. Ellinger, will you?
What?
I'll be back with you in a moment.
Oh, all right.
Sergeant.
Sir?
Tell me, Sergeant.
Sir?
Have there been any reports of a girl's body being washed up in the past year?
Well, no, sir. Not to my knowledge. In fact, I'm pretty sure there aren't.
What
you make of him, sir? You think he is a nutcase?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. He's a bit nervy, but he's rational.
Yes.
But whether he's all there or not, well, we shall have to follow up. Now, I want you to check the missing persons list and the Police Gazette for a description of this girl.
Sir?
Then call the headquarters at Norwich. I'll take the boy's written statement.
Right, sir.
Now, Mr. Ellinger, I'll have to go over that again, if you don't mind. So I shall need your signed statement. You can dictate it to me, and I'll write it down. But first, let's have your address.
Hillside House.
Hillside House.
Riders Lane.
Riders Lane.
Wintersley.
Miss Sanford? Miss Sanford?
Yes?
Hello, don't you recognize me? I'm Frank Ellinger, Ralph's father.
Oh, hello.
Well, we only met once, briefly. Where are you off to?
The library. I work there.
Can I give you a lift?
Oh, no, I couldn't think of bothering
you. Oh, it's no bother. Climb in. It's somewhere on the right, isn't it?
The fourth. I could have walked. It's no distance at all.
Ah, too late now. Have you seen Ralph lately?
No, not for some time.
Your father's in timber, isn't he?
Yes.
Sound. Well, I must tell Ralph I've seen you.
No, please don't do that.
Well, why not?
I'd rather you didn't. If you could drop me on the next corner, that'll do fine.
Right you are.
Thank you, Mr. Ellinger.
My pleasure. Hello, darling.
Frank!
Frank, you managed to get off early.
Well, a promise is a promise.
Have you got there?
Where?
Come on, show me.
Oh, this. Oh, just a little something for you.
Darling, I can't imagine what it is.
I hope you can't.
Frank, a necklace. It must have cost you the earth.
Very nearly. But I don't grudge a penny.
You're a nice, kind man.
Well, I want to see it on.
Not over this dress. Wait till I've changed.
Oh, come on, over to the mirror. Here, let me.
Watch my hair. Had it set specially for tonight.
There.
It's beautiful. Quite beautiful, Frank.
So I've had something engraved on the clasp.
Oh, what does it say?
Just a happy tenth.
Did you think I'd forgotten how many?
No, but after the fifth, one's inclined to lose count.
Fool. Now, wait. I've got something for you, too.
Oh, Ruth, you shouldn't.
Which means if I hadn't, you'd have been furious.
I can't even begin to guess.
Well?
Cufflinks.
What's wrong? Don't you like them?
Yes, of course.
Then what is it? Now, don't tell me you've a pair exactly like them.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have. Ralph gave me a similar pair this morning.
Ralph?
Yes, you two should have consulted each other.
But I told him I was thinking of buying you cufflinks.
Oh, did you? Well, it was obviously a misunderstanding. Oh, not to worry, I'm sure they'll change them.
That's not the point.
Ah, forget it, darling. I'll take them back first thing. Oh, by the way, do you know who I bumped into as I left the jeweller's? Carol Sanford.
Carol Sanford?
Hmm.
The girl Ralph was friendly with?
Yes, I offered her a lift. She was rather reluctant for some reason, but I turned on the old charm. I may be wrong, but I think the poor girl was quite embarrassed to see me.
Why?
I don't know. When I mentioned Ralph's name, she was, decidedly cool. She and Ralph must have had a tiff or something.
That doesn't surprise me.
What does that mean?
Well, let's face it, darling, that boy of yours isn't the easiest person to get along with. I know, I've tried.
You're always dropping hints about Ralph. What does he do? Is he rude to you?
I wish he were. Then at least I'd feel some contact. He's just...
Just what?
Indifferent. Oh. Honestly, if I happen to find myself in the same room as he is, he has the happy knack of making me feel I'm not there.
Oh, you're exaggerating.
I'm not. Believe me, Frank. And lately it's got worse.
In what way?
I don't know.
Well, look, I know he's not the easiest person to reach, but after all, the boy's been unwell. He's had a breakdown.
But that was months ago. I'd have thought he'd have recovered by now.
Well, I had another chat with Dr. Medway. These things take time.
But if only he'd make an effort. Take a holiday, go abroad somewhere. All he does is lock himself into his room or wander off on his own.
Oh, young people are like that at his age. He'll sort himself out in time. Now, how about a drink? What do you have?
The usual.
Oh, come on, snap out of it. I say, is Flora taken to the bottle?
What?
Well, this decanter was full at the weekend.
Flora's teetotal.
Oh. Ralph?
Well, I hate to carry tales.
Where is he? Upstairs?
No, he's not in. He went out soon after lunch.
Yes, I believe it was somewhere along here, Inspector.
All right, driver. Pull up.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mr. Ellinger,
I want you to show me exactly where you picked this girl up.
It was about here. I'm pretty sure of it. I remember I was 20 or 30 yards past the junction leading to Wroxham.
She stood on this verge, you say, and waved you down.
Yes.
Well, was it dark at the time?
It was after 10, it must have been.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't miss her as you turned off toward Wintersley.
Well, there aren't any cat's eyes on this road. I had my headlights full on.
Which road did you take to Yarmouth?
The A417.
And this pub you stopped at, what was it called?
Three Crowns. That's a couple of miles further on.
Do you drop in there regularly?
No, it was the first and last time.
All right. Back in the car. That pub's our next port of call. Can you recall who served you, Mr. Ellinger?
Oh, yes. The man with the paunch behind the bar.
All right. Let's go up to the counter.
Yes, sir. What'll it be?
I'm a police officer.
Oh, yes.
What can I do for you?
This young gentleman with me. Have you ever seen him before?
I can't say that I have.
Now, don't rush it. Take your time. This is very important.
See here. What's this all about?
That's not your worry. Now, do you recognize him?
Let me see. No. No, I don't.
Look, I was with a young girl, Irish. She had red hair and wore a light coat.
How long ago was this?
About a year.
A year? Good grief. That's going back a bit. Do you know how many customers I get in here every day? Hundreds. Almost every other car stops here.
I dare say. But do try and remember.
What time did you come in?
About 10:15.
Oh, that's our busiest spell. At that time, I can't tell one face from t'other. If you'd have dropped in last night, I wouldn't remember you.
Oh, come along, Mr. Ellinger.
Really?
Thank you, sir. I'm obliged to you for your help.
That's all right.
This is the place, Inspector. I parked the car at the top of the cliff road, and then I carried her body over to the edge.
Here, you say?
Yes. It was very windy that night. I had a job to keep my balance.
Was the tide in or out?
Oh, I can't be sure. It was pretty dark. It was in, I think.
All right, Mr. Ellinger. Well, we'll try that hotel in Yarmouth.
Do come in, gentlemen.
Oh, my credentials, Mr. Carstairs.
Yes, of course, sir.
This is Mr. Ellinger.
How do you do? Will you take a seat?
No, thanks. We're in something of a hurry, Mr. Carstairs. We're trying to trace a girl.
Girl?
Yes, we've very little to go on, but we believe she was coming to work here.
When exactly?
Last June.
Well, if she did come, we can soon trace her. I'll check my files. What's the girl's name?
Peggy. We've no surname.
Oh, well, frankly, every other kitchen maid's called Peggy.
No, she was Irish. Around 20, with red hair and green eyes.
That sounds like one of a dozen who've worked here in recent years. Tell you the truth, most of our farm labour's Italian these days. They come over by the boatload. No, I'm sorry, I've no correspondence with an Irish girl at the time you mentioned.
But she told me she was coming here.
No, probably on the off chance. We're always short of staff, and if she'd come, we'd certainly have taken her on. I'm afraid I've got no record of her.
She was about 22 or 23. You got that? Red hair, green eyes, wearing a light coat with large buttons down the front. No, there's no photograph. You don't have to tell me that, look. I know it's not much to go on, but it's all we got. Well, she come by Liverpool, someone might have seen her. Lorry driver, maybe. Ah, well, keep in touch, boy. Oh, hello, Inspector. I just been out in Norwich, and I also checked with Liverpool.
Well?
You were right. She wouldn't need no passport to travel from Northern Ireland.
Mm.
And by boat, there'd be no record. It's just like buying a railway ticket.
Mm. Well, what about missing persons?
I checked while I was on the headquarters.
Oh.
No one of that description on the list. And the only bodies washed up during the past year were two elderly people, both identified.
Yeah.
How do you fare, sir?
Well, no luck at the pub or the hotel.
Well, I suppose it is a bit dicey after a year, but it does seem odd that no one's reported her missing. Her family, I mean.
Well, that depends. If she left home, they probably wouldn't give it a second thought.
Yes. I suppose there's no chance that our young friend in there is pulling our legs.
I won't pretend, Sergeant, that thought had crossed my mind.
Well, you know what some of those college chaps are like, sir. Anything for a lark.
I know that only too well. No, don't get up, Mr. Ellinger. Care for a smoke?
No, not just now, thanks.
Well, maybe I won't either. Mr. Ellinger, I know Wintersley is just a small town, but believe me, we're pretty busy here. And although we seem like country yokels, we don't take kindly to tomfoolery or practical jokes.
I don't quite see.
Just let me finish, will you? I was young myself once, and I know the sort of pranks that students get up to.
Pranks?
I remember painting a statue bright yellow, and for months I was the hero of the school.
No, I assure you, Inspector.
Well, whatever your reason, you've wasted my entire afternoon and put my staff to a great deal of trouble. Now, the truth is, we have no trace of this girl. In fact, no reason to believe that she ever existed. Now, but if you care to retract this statement, apologize and give me your assurance that it won't happen again, you can leave here without further ado.
But I tell you, I did kill this girl.
Why?
Why?
Yes, why? Well, there's usually a motive.
I told you, it was on a sudden impulse. There's nothing more than that.
Oh, come now, Mr. Ellinger. You look an intelligent chap to me. I'm sure you know when a joke's gone far enough.
I swear to you, this is not a joke.
Mr. Ellinger, you realize if you persist in this story, I shall have to notify your family. This could be serious for them, as well as for you.
Well, of course I realize that.
And you still insist that you killed this girl?
Yes.
Very well. Then you leave me no alternative.
Frank? Would you sit me up?
Just a minute. Where's a towel?
Here you are.
Oh, thanks. You look stunning.
You look frightful.
Give me a chance. Spot a brilliantine, a touch of aftershave, and I'll be a different man.
Oh, I shan't like that at all.
There. Smell that.
Irresistible.
Me or the aftershave?
I'm still waiting to be zipped up.
Turn around. Zip. There you are.
Thank you. Now do hurry up or we should be late.
Oh, no, there's no hurry. They serve till about 11.
I'm not waiting for my dinner till 11. In an hour I shall be famished.
Then ask Lord to fix you a sandwich.
Really?
Where's my tie?
Here. No, let me. I'm an expert.
Is Ralph back yet?
I haven't seen him.
Oh, well, I thought we'd all have a drink together.
There we are.
Oh, thanks.
He's probably gone to a cinema. I've arranged with Flora to leave him something cold. Your jacket?
Ah, ta. Now, let's make sure I've got everything. Watch, handkerchief, wallet.
Don't forget that, whatever you do.
Yes, come in.
Sorry to bother you, sir.
Yes, what is it, Flora?
There's an inspector on the telephone. What? He asked to speak to you.
Inspector? Oh, don't tell me there's a burglary at the office. Shall be a moment, Ruth. Hello? Yes, speaking. Yes. Yes, I see. Well, what's the trouble exactly? Can't you be more specific? Look, I'm just on my way out. Oh. Very well, I'll be down. Goodbye.
What is it, darling?
Believe it or not, Ralph's down at the police station.
What's happened?
Oh, Lord only knows. Another car accident, I expect.
Oh, no.
He couldn't have chosen a better night, could he? Oh, Flora.
Yes, sir?
Ring the Star Hotel in Norwich, would you? I've booked a table. Tell them we may be a little late.
This girl's coat, Mr. Ellinger. I'd like you to describe it again, if you would.
But, Inspector, how many times do I have to...
Please, Mr. Ellinger. The coat.
It was loose-fitting with large buttons down the front.
What color?
Green.
But you described it as a light coat in your first statement.
I meant the buttons were green. The coat was fawn or gray. I can't be sure.
So I gather. Now, the pub you visited was the Three Crowns at Pooley?
No, Wroxham.
And she was going to work at the Queen at Cromer?
Yes. No, Yarmouth. Oh, look, I'm tired and you're confusing me.
Yes, I'm becoming a little confused myself.
Don't you believe anything I say?
I'm trying, Mr. Ellinger. Believe me, I'm trying. Yes?
He's arrived, sir.
Oh, thank you, Sergeant. Your father's here.
So?
You still sticking to this statement?
I am.
Well, very well, sir. Just remain here for a moment. Mr. Frank Ellinger?
Yes?
Inspector Hadley, CID.
Oh, how are you? This is my wife.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs.
How
Ellinger?
How do you do?
Pleased to come through, won't you?
Thank you.
Now, what's this boy of mine been up to?
Well, sir, I think you'd better read this statement.
Thank you.
It was entirely voluntary. I took down the details, but the boy signed it, as you can see.
You say Ralph made this statement?
Yes, in the presence of my sergeant and me.
May I, please?
It's ludicrous. You're surely not taking it seriously.
Well, sir, I can hardly dismiss it. In fact, I've already made some preliminary inquiries.
And?
Well, so far, I must admit, there is no evidence to support this.
Well, I can promise you there won't be.
Oh?
Oh, we should have contacted me sooner, Inspector. It would probably have saved you a great deal of time and trouble. You see, about 6 months ago, my son had a serious nervous breakdown.
Oh, is that a fact?
Yes, I'm afraid he overdid things up at the university.
Ah, now who's been treating him, sir?
The Dr. Medway. I can let you have his address.
Hmm. Well, now, that does throw a different light on the matter.
I thought it might.
Not that I could have charged him, sir. There's not a prima facie case. On this evidence, I couldn't hold him even if I'd wanted to. Providing, of course, he's not a danger to himself or others.
This hasn't got to the press, has it?
Oh, no, sir.
Oh, thank heaven for that. I have my business to think of. Where is the boy?
Next door. This way, sir.
Now, don't worry, Ruth. Everything will be all right.
Your father's here, Mr. Ellinger.
Hello, Ralph. We've come to take you home.
You've what?
We've come to take you home. Now, everything's arranged. You're not to worry.
But I've made a statement.
Yes, we know all about that, but you're not to worry about a thing.
But I killed this girl.
Now, try and look at this intelligently, Ralph. You've been ill.
The sooner we get you home, the sooner we can straighten things out.
There's nothing to straighten out. Look, you've been wondering why I didn't go back to Cambridge. Well, this was the reason. The breakdown was an excuse.
Yes, we'll talk about it later.
No, but
I... You can't stay here. The police have no jurisdiction to hold you.
Is that right, Inspector?
Yes, it is.
But I've confessed, haven't I? I mean, you've got it there in black and white. I've told you how I killed her, when and where. What more do you want?
I'm afraid I can't argue with
you,
sir.
You think I imagined it all, or that I'm off my head?
No one's suggesting that, Ralph. But you need help. Don't you see that?
It's the truth. It may be unpalatable, but I can't help that.
Now come along, Ralph.
I should, if I were you, sir.
My car's parked outside.
Well, I can find my own way, thanks.
Ellinger, you've really nothing to worry about.
All the same, Denton, I thought you ought to know about it.
I'm glad you came. But remember, I'm a solicitor, not a criminal lawyer. Though from what you've told me, I'm quite sure the police won't proceed further. I should just forget about it if I were you.
But how can I? He still insists he killed this girl.
Have you consulted a doctor?
Yes, I was on Medway's doorstep first thing.
And what did he have to say?
Well, he's one of these GPs of the old school. He seems confused as I am. Mumbles something about a sedative. And finally suggested I call in someone else.
A psychiatrist?
Yes.
Well, that's exactly what you ought to do. Look, there's a chap who's given evidence for us on several occasions. Rooney's his name. Mm. Very reliable. I'll get you his address. But in the first instance, I should get Medway to write him.
Yes, Flora?
The gentleman's arrived, sir.
I'll show him in, Flora.
Oh, this way, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. Rooney, how do you do?
How are you?
Frank Ellinger.
Sorry I couldn't get here before today. It's not my usual practice.
No, it was good of you to come.
It's a very attractive house you have here.
Like it? Yes, I bought it when I remarried. We've been here 10 years. My business is in Norwich, but I prefer to live a little way out.
I envy you. I'm surrounded by industry. But as most of my patients are executives, I mustn't complain.
No. Would I like to get rid of your coat?
Oh, thanks.
I should drop it over the back of the chair.
Here?
Yes. Can I offer you a drink?
Not for me, thank you. But you go ahead. I gather you, from Dr. Medway's letter, you've had a spot of trouble.
That's putting it mildly. It's been like living on the edge of a volcano. I've tried talking some sense into the boy, but he won't budge. And Dr. Medway thought it would be a good idea to call someone in.
And do you?
Hmm?
Think it's a good idea?
Well, since you ask, frankly, no. After all, it's...
I know. Better a fracture or an ulcer in the family than mental illness, eh?
Well, since you put it like that...
What exactly is it you want me to do?
Well, I'm not sure. See the boy, I suppose. Talk to him. Find some reason for his fantastic behavior.
And treat him?
Naturally.
So there's little doubt in your mind that he is mentally ill?
I wouldn't put it quite so strongly as that. He's got some bee in his bonnet, that's all.
But bees come in many varieties.
Well, what I mean is he doesn't seem off his head to me. He's under some strain or another, but let's face it, who isn't today?
True.
He's probably got what you chaps call neurosis, don't you think?
I rarely diagnose at second hand.
Well, I don't think he's insane.
But that would be more acceptable than having a murderer in the family.
Acceptable's hardly the word. Preferable, perhaps. But then his whole story is a complete fabrication, so why discuss it? It's caused me a great deal of embarrassment, I can tell you that. And I'm anxious to get to the bottom of it.
Psychiatry to the rescue, eh? You know, Mr. Ellinger, daily I'm consulted by counsel, sometimes by the defense, sometimes by the prosecution, often about the same case. Both want solutions, but always the one that suits them. There's a check, if you can oblige. The way out, if you can't. A great many doors have closed behind me. I'm afraid I can't tailor my diagnosis to save you embarrassment. But if you want the truth, then perhaps I can help.
That is all I want.
Then I'll see your boy. Does he know you've consulted me?
I did mention it, casually.
What did he say?
Nothing, he just smiled. Won't be plain sailing.
Never is. Now, I'd like to make a few notes on his background, if you'll bear with me.
No, of course.
Right. Now, Ralph's age is...
22.
And his general health?
Until his breakdown, excellent.
Any complaints of headaches, throat trouble, any other aches and pains?
No, not as far as I know.
Any history of insanity in the family?
Certainly not.
Good. Now, if I remember rightly, Dr. Medway mentioned he'd been up at Cambridge.
Yes, studying law.
How did he get on?
Very well, above average, I believe.
Mm-hmm. As a child, was he very imaginative?
Not unduly so, no.
This is your second marriage?
Yes, his mother died when he was 11.
How did he take his mother's death?
He was away at school at the time. I didn't see him till after the funeral. He seemed to take it very well.
How soon after did you remarry?
Is that relevant?
If it wasn't, I shouldn't have asked.
Oh. 6 months.
Did you talk to him about it?
We had a chat. He seemed unconcerned. He was more interested in a new fishing rod.
Uh-huh. How does he get on with his stepmother?
Well enough. Ralph's never been what I'd call demonstrative.
And with you?
Not too badly. To tell you the truth, he's a bit on the arty side, if you know what I mean. He wanders around with his head in the clouds. Half the time, I don't know what he's talking about.
Has he any girlfriends?
Yes, he had one.
What sort of a girl?
Nice sort of girl. Works in the local library. Her name's Carol Sanford.
Mm-hmm. Sanford.
Yes, that fizzled out some time ago. Don't ask me why.
When did you first notice any change in his behavior?
Well, now I come to think of it. About a year ago, and just after my wife and I got back from abroad, he'd shut himself away in his room, wouldn't talk to anyone, and started helping himself to my drink.
I take it he's never been in trouble with the police before?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frank. Oh. I just got back. I didn't know you had anyone with you.
Well, this is Dr. Rooney, my wife.
How do you do?
Hello, Mrs. Ellinger.
I only came in to remind you that we're dining with the Frosts.
Ah, yes.
Also, I've managed to get 2 seats for the concert.
Ah, splendid. Well, Dr. Rooney, you will want to see Ralph, I expect.
If I may.
He's in his room. I'll take you up.
Oh, forgive me, I did not.
Please, one moment.
I see we have the same taste, Mr. Ellinger. Bartok, I have the Philharmonic recording.
Really? I don't care for it myself.
Hmm. Well, that divan looks very comfortable. I'm Dr. Rooney, by the way.
Yes, the trick cyclist. Interpreter of dreams, repressions, obsessions, and phallic symbols.
I'm flattered. I've never looked on myself as anything more than a good listener.
Then if I know my father, you've already earned your fee. I'm sure he's given you the complete picture.
If he had, I shouldn't be here.
Oh, then you'll find me a fascinating case. An unstable personality abounding in complexes and delusions.
You look pretty stable to me.
Ah, naughty. You should know better, Doctor. Never judge a book by its cover. I mean, to look at me, you'd never believe I killed a charming, helpless girl, would you? That these hands had squeezed the life out of her without rhyme or reason. No, of course not. Well, don't worry, Doctor, you're in good company. Tis odd, though, isn't it? We spend millions on the detection of crime, but confess, offer yourself on a plate. And the truth isn't enough. They want evidence, witnesses. And if you can't produce them, they sentence you to live with it.
You'll be surprised at the number of people who daily confess to crimes they've never committed. 2 or 3 of them arrive in my consulting room every week. If the laws of evidence weren't there to protect them, they'd spend half their lives in jail.
Suppose one of your patients were guilty.
I've yet to meet one. They're usually people who are frustrated, rejected. Some need the limelight and publicity. Others seek punishment to allay certain guilt feelings.
Thanks for the lecture. Sorry, I can't fit into one of your pigeonholes.
Do you smoke?
On occasions, like a chimney.
Do help yourself.
Yes, thanks. This is one of them.
Now, Mr. Ellinger.
Ralph, please. Informality will help establish transference, don't you think?
Well, Ralph, I'd like to ask you a question, if I may.
Whether I object or not, you'll ask it, so go ahead.
Now, supposing I was to tell you that two or three years ago I'd killed someone, and now I'd come along to confess, what would you say?
I'd wonder how you managed to hold out that long. I only lasted a year.
Why didn't you confess right away?
What a question. Because I was afraid. Afraid of being found out, caught, punished. It's only natural, isn't it?
Yes.
I wasn't insane. I knew I'd killed the girl. I knew I'd done wrong. I didn't relish the thought of ending up with a rope round my neck.
Then why this sudden change of heart?
Oh, because there are things that go on inside of one that I never knew about. Call it conscience, call it what you like. You know, it's ironic. I was a law student of all things. Well, I found I couldn't attend a lecture without being reminded of what I'd done. Couldn't see a girl in the street without thinking of her, feeling of her body suddenly going limp. Her eyes, the wind against my face as I dropped her body over the cliff. And then the sudden fear when I found...
Yes, go on.
When I found...
What is it, Ralph?
Oh, good God! How could I have forgotten that?
Forgotten what, Ralph?
I'm sorry, excuse me.
What's the trouble?
It's my jacket you're sitting on. Do you mind?
But where are you off to?
So, I imagined it all, did I? We'll see.
Where are you going?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Ralph, what are you doing down here?
I'm going out.
Where to?
That's my business.
Ralph, I'm talking to you.
You let go of my arm.
Have you seen Dr. Rooney?
Yes, I've seen him.
What is it, Frank? What's happened?
God knows. Rooney, what's going on?
I don't know.
Ralph, would you mind telling me where you're going?
If you must know, to the police.
For God's sake, haven't you caused enough trouble? What are you going to do now?
Tell them about the handbag.
Handbag? What handbag?
The girl's. The one I killed. I found it in the car the following day.
Where is it?
I threw it in the marsh along the Norwich Road.
Sergeant, I'd like a word with you.
Come in, sir.
I hope you don't object to my presence, Inspector.
Why should I, Mr. Ellinger?
Oh, blast. My right foot's a soaking. There must be a leak in my boot.
Excuse me a moment, Mr. Ellinger.
Yes, of course.
How's it going, Lumsden?
No luck so far. We've covered the North Marsh for about half a mile, not a sausage.
What's the bottom like?
Pretty muddy.
How far out have you been?
About 50 yards, and that's a great deal further than anyone to throw a handbag.
Have you found anything?
Yep, the usual. Bicycle frames, a few wheels, and an old brass bedstead. I'm thinking of going it in the old iron business.
Not a bad idea. Here, I say.
Huh?
Whose kids are those?
Oh, I don't know. Probably from that cottage across the marsh, I should think.
Better give them a shout. It isn't safe for them to be playing around here.
Right, sir.
And you and the lads had better work down the south side.
Oh, bless the boys, love that.
Hey, you kids, out with it. Go on. It's dangerous to play here, look.
Inspector, you don't really expect to find anything, do you?
I'm sorry, sir, but having received this information, it's my duty to act on it.
Yes, I appreciate that, but the boy's obviously unwell. Today it's a handbag in the marsh. Tomorrow he'll come up with some other cock and bull story.
My God, come on. Now, not a bigger stone as that.
This one, yes.
Once, you get stuck in that marsh and you'll find yourselves in real trouble.
Well, what are all those men doing out there, mister? Are you coppers?
Never you mind. Now, go on. Back home.
Has Ralph gone out?
No, ma'am. He's in the study.
Thank you. It's all right, Ralph. You don't have to hide that bottle behind your back. If you want a drink, you're welcome to it.
I don't know why I bother. It doesn't help.
Then why do you?
It's thirst quenching.
I wish I could understand you. You've everything a boy could want.
Is that so?
Yet you carry a chip on your shoulder the size of a house.
God, you talk in clichés, don't you?
What is it you want, Ralph?
From you, nothing.
From anybody. You walk around with a face as long as a week.
Here we go again.
You imagine I'm something of a fool, don't you? Well, I'm not.
I like people who ask you a question and then answer it themselves.
Oh, I know you've never liked me. There's no need to pretend. You look on me as something of an intruder, don't you?
I've never really thought about it.
Then it's about time you started thinking. What can you hope to achieve by this story?
I'm not with you.
What do you hope to gain by it? Can't you see what it's doing to your father? Is it some way of hitting back at him?
Oh, for God's sake!
Don't turn your back on me. You know what I'm talking about.
Do I?
The truth is, you resent the attention he pays to me. You always have, ever since I came into the house. Don't deny it. I've noticed the way you look at me.
You're way off the beam. I couldn't care less about you.
I don't believe a word. You're jealous. I don't have to be a psychiatrist to see that.
You and Rooney would make a fine pair. Well, won't you join me, Mother?
Ralph, please listen to me. You know very well you never killed that girl. Your statement's a lie from beginning to end. There's no bag. There never was a bag. Now, why don't you admit it? Admit it.
They're back.
What?
I heard a car door.
Oh. It's your father's.
I knew it. They've found the bag.
Frank, what's happened?
Ralph, come here. Put down that glass and come here. Don't let me have to ask you again.
Well? Well, let's hear the glad tidings.
They didn't find anything.
What?
The police didn't find any bag.
Oh, but I took them down there. I showed them where I threw it.
They've had a dozen men there the entire day. They've searched for half a mile either side of the road. They didn't find anything.
Oh, well, perhaps I made a mistake. It was dark when I threw it out, and the car was moving.
You're ill. You realize that, don't you? What you believe is the truth is just a figment of your imagination. Try and understand.
No, I tell you, I threw her bag into the marsh.
Ralph, if this goes on, sooner or later, it'll get into the press. You want that to happen?
All you can think about is the press and your business. It's never occurred to you that I might be telling the truth, no. Well, let me repeat it once again. I killed that girl. Is that clear? I killed her. Not from spite or malice or any reason that I know, but I killed her, and I'll prove it to you. Somehow I'll prove it to you.
Mr. Gray?
Oh, that's me.
I'm Inspector Hadley. I've driven over from Wintersley. I won't keep you a moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're the chap who called by yesterday when I was out.
That's right, yes.
My wife did mention something. It was my market day. Oh, I'm sorry I've given you an extra journey.
Oh, that's all right.
Oh, these dreaded kids. Here, stop that noise, will you? If you want to play, go into the yard.
You've got my ball.
Well, there's half a dozen others in the shed. Now go on, round the back, both on you. Ah, little devils.
Your kids?
Mm-hmm.
I saw them playing in the marsh yesterday. It's pretty treacherous out there, though.
Oh, I shouldn't worry about them. It's been their playground since they were so high. Now, what's it you want to see me about?
Oh, just a routine call. We were led to understand that a woman's bag was thrown into the marsh a short distance from here.
A handbag?
Yes. A light plastic affair with broad stitching and a shoulder strap. I wondered if either you or your wife had seen anything like it floating around.
When was it thrown there, do you know?
Well, some time back. Last year, in fact.
Oh, no, I haven't come across it. I'm sure my wife had mentioned it, if she had.
Well, I'm sorry to have troubled you. Thank you for your help again, Mr. Gray.
I've been looking all over for you, sir. I'd almost given up.
I called back to see Mr. Gray without much success.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, well, now, what's your problem, Lumsden?
Well, sir, I got a friend of yours outside.
Oh? Who?
Young Allinger.
Oh, no. Not again.
Yep. Should I send him packing or get on the blower to his father?
No. Let's have him in.
Sir? Inspector, I'll see you, Mr. Allinger. Go on in.
All right, Sergeant.
Sir?
It was good of you to see me, Inspector.
Oh, what is it this time, Mr. Ellinger?
Look, I'm sorry about the bag. I know you've been put to a great deal of trouble.
That's the understatement of the year.
But it is somewhere in the marsh, believe me. I might have thrown it further on. You see, I was travelling at about 30 miles an hour.
Mr. Ellinger, just take a look at this map, will you? There are thousands of acres of marshland between here and Norwich. And it'd take my men a month of Sundays to cover that area.
Yes.
Now, look here, son. Why don't you go home like a good boy? You know, I'm getting just a little tired of you, Mr. Ellinger.
Do you know where I've been for the last couple of hours?
No. Do tell me.
Down to the seafront.
Oh, I wish I could have joined you. Instead, I've been gallivanting around the countryside and to no avail.
Look, I'm sorry you couldn't find the bag.
Not half as sorry as I am.
But maybe this will convince you.
What is it?
It's one of her buttons, off her coat.
Where'd you get this?
I found it on the beach, among the rocks below the cliff.
Oh? How do I know that?
What?
How do I know you found this button on the beach?
Because I'm telling you.
But you've told me so many things, haven't you?
But it's off her coat, I'm sure of it, and I swear to you I found it at the foot of the cliff.
Well, even if you had, what would it prove?
I don't understand.
Did anyone else see the girl in the coat?
Well, in the pub.
They don't remember you. Besides, these buttons are manufactured in their 100,000. Oh, for goodness sake, man, use your head.
But
you think I'm being unreasonable, don't you? But my job isn't to prove a man guilty or innocent. As a law student, you should know that in a capital charge, I merely submit a report to the Director of Public Prosecutions.
Yes, I do know that.
And only then can I make an arrest. Now, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? I ask you. You see, I suppose you think that I've been neglectful, don't you? Well, believe me, I haven't. I've been in touch with Liverpool, circulated your description of the girl, checked with missing persons both here and in Ireland. I've even spoken to the hydrographic section of the Admiralty to check the tides last year. They said it was possible that a body might have been carried toward the coast of Germany. So, the Yard have even spoken to Interpol, without any success, I might add. I've checked with everyone who could have been of the slightest help. Well, you'll agree that we've been pretty thorough, eh?
Yes, sir.
But you haven't produced a single witness or an item of evidence to substantiate any part of your story. Well, can you blame me for being skeptical? No, I haven't come across many murderers in my time, but the few I have met have been very anxious not to be caught. Well, doesn't your behavior strike you as rather odd?
You don't realize what's going on inside me.
Well, that's hardly my province. But if you want my candid opinion, son, you need a rest. Now, you go away for a spell. But whatever you do, I don't want to see you here again. And for your father's sake, stay out of trouble.
Oh, Miss Haynes, I told you I didn't want to be disturbed. I'm working on the Mansfield estimate.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Ellinger, but it's Mr. Ryder from the Gazette. He said it was very urgent.
Frank, forgive me for barging in like
this. Oh, Bill, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was you. All right, Miss Haynes.
Yes, sir.
I was going to telephone, but on second thoughts I decided to make it a personal call.
Pull up a chair.
Now I haven't time for a cozy chat. We go to press today. Now, let me come straight to the point and then get the hell away out of here.
What's up with you?
I found your boy waiting in my office when I got back from lunch.
Oh, yes?
And he spilled me a fantastic story. Well, frankly, it made my hair stand on end.
How about a girl, an Irish girl?
Oh, yes, you know about it?
Yes, I certainly do. It's been going on for some time now. I've had to call in a psychiatrist.
Oh, I thought as much. Yeah, I remember you telling me he hadn't been well.
Nothing's leaked out, has
it? No, of course not. There's no question of publication.
Well, I'm very grateful to you, Bill.
Oh, don't thank me, please. Look, if there's anything I can do...
Not just now.
Well, I'd better get back to the office. Give my love to Ruth.
Yes, I will. Oh, Miss Haynes.
Yes, Mr. Ellinger.
Call this number, will you, and get Dr. Rooney on the line.
Sorry I couldn't get here sooner, but I was delayed at the hospital.
Well, Dr. Rooney, I had a call from the inspector. Ralph's been down to the police station again.
When was this?
Before lunch. This time about a button he said he'd found on the beach. I'm surprised Hadley didn't put him under lock and key.
The boy's not certifiable, at least not in my opinion.
You might change your mind when you hear the rest. He then called in at the offices of the Gazette. It's a good job the editor's a friend of mine, I can tell you, or his confession might have been splashed across the front page. You'd hardly describe that as normal behaviour, would you?
I know it's distressing for you.
Distressing, good God.
Look, I'd like Ralph to be at my consulting room tomorrow morning.
Why?
I think it might be an idea to exclude the possibility of any physical abnormality. Say 11:30.
I'll do what I can, but I'll probably need a team of wild horses.
I'll relieve you of that jacket, Ralph, and onto the couch.
Leave my shoes on?
Yes, that's all right. When I've done this encephalogram, my nurse will take a blood sample, and then I want you to go across to the hospital for an X-ray.
It must be costing my father a packet.
You talk as though he keeps you short.
Oh, heaven forbid, no. He's generous. More than generous.
Then why don't you like him?
Did I say that?
Just raise your head a little. Now, don't worry about these wires. They won't give you a shock or anything.
It's an odd gadget. I feel as though I'm about to be launched into space.
Yeah, I'm almost through. There. Now, I shall ask you to do one or two things. Just do them, but don't talk.
You're asking a lot.
Ready?
Yes.
Breathe in. Hold it. Breathe out. Now, close your eyes. Open them. Now, close them again. Fine, that's all.
Can I open them?
Yes, but no, stay where you are. Just let me get rid of this paraphernalia. Tell me, what do you do in your spare time?
Oh, books, music.
No friends?
I find it difficult enough to contend with myself.
Your father mentioned a girl you were friendly with, Miss Sanford.
Oh, did he?
How was she like?
Oh, upper crust intellectual. Pretty.
Sounds promising.
Yes. Well, if you're through, where do I go for this blood test?
Yes, sir. Could I help you?
Yes, I wonder if you could tell me where I can find Miss Sanford.
Well, she's about somewhere. Oh, she's with the trolley, over there by the fine arts section.
Oh, thank you. Miss Sanford?
Yes?
Oh, forgive me, my name is Dr. Rooney.
Oh, if it's the medical section you want, it's just on the other side of the gangway.
No, this is a personal matter.
Oh?
I really shouldn't be bothering you. Please carry on.
What is it you want to see me about?
I believe you know a young man called Ralph Ellinger.
I did?
He happens to be a patient of mine.
Oh, is he ill?
Well, he's not exactly ill.
I think I understand. You're a psychiatrist, aren't you?
You don't seem very surprised.
I'm not.
May I ask why?
Must I talk about it? I'd rather not.
Might help.
All right. What is it you want to know?
When did you stop seeing Ralph?
6 or 7 months ago.
You know I expect that he had a breakdown.
Yes, I did hear something about it. Oh, but it wasn't on my account, I promise you. As a matter of fact, I wrote to him when I heard, but he never replied.
You knew him well, though.
Very. At one time we were... Oh, that was all over a long time ago.
What went wrong exactly?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. For some unaccountable reason he became remote, detached. He began to drink. He'd let me down, and when we did meet, we did nothing but quarrel.
About what?
Anything, everything.
Mm-hmm. Did he ever mention a girl called Peggy to you?
Peggy? Peggy who?
An Irish girl. That's all I know about her.
No, he never mentioned her to me. Who is she?
I'm not sure myself at the moment. Now, what I'm going to ask you may seem a little odd. Was he ever violent towards you in any way?
Who, Ralph?
Now, this is very important, Miss Sanford. Was he ever aggressive towards you?
Good heavens, no. Why'd you ask? What's happened?
Oh, nothing for you to worry about. Now, about his behaviour. To your knowledge, did he ever avoid certain places?
It's odd you should ask me that. We used to go for walks along the cliffs. And then suddenly he refused to go up there.
Did he say why?
No, he wouldn't give any reason. I can't tell you why, but at times he frightened me.
Shh! This chatter is most disturbing.
Oh, I'm sorry, madam. I'm afraid I haven't been much help, Dr. Rooney.
On the contrary, I'm very grateful.
Goodbye, Miss Sanford.
Goodbye.
Oh, Frank, I'm glad you're back early.
Why, has Rooney arrived?
No, but there is someone waiting to see you. A Mr. Preedy.
Preedy? I don't know any Preedy.
Well, if you'd rather not see him...
No, I'll... all right. Ask Flora to whip up some tea, will you?
Yes, of course.
Ah, Mr. Ellinger? Mr. Frank Ellinger?
Yes?
I am Joseph Preedy, of the Preedy Investigation Bureau, Charlie Street, Norwich. My card.
Yes, Mr. Preedy.
You will understand, sir, that it is not usual for a member of my profession to betray a client's confidence. But, on the other hand, there are occasions when one has to draw the line. If you know what I mean, sir.
I don't at the moment, but do go on.
Well, let me put it like this, sir. There are times when I am asked to do something which may appear a trifle odd. Oh, you'd be amazed at the number of crackpots who wind up in front of my desk, watch my neighbour's wife, or trace my ginger tom.
Yes, I'd be
or...
grateful if you'd be a little more precise, Mr. Preedy.
Of course. A young man by the name of Ralph Ellinger arrived in my office this afternoon.
My son, you say?
So I have since ascertained. He asked me to assist him in an investigation, the investigation of a murder.
Oh, God.
Now, sir, it is not the first time I have been approached on such matters. The Preedy Investigation Bureau has a reputation...
Yes, quite, but do please keep to the point.
Well, sir, you can imagine my surprise when your son stated he had committed the murder. I was a trifle shaken, to say the least... And you do see the quandary I was in, don't you, sir?
Yes, I do.
Without offence, it was obviously a case of non-compos mentis, so I felt it my duty to follow him, sir, and this I did.
Yes, I'm more than grateful to you, Mr. Preedy. You're quite right, my son is unwell. It was good of you to let me know of this incident. Please do send me a bill to cover any out-of-pocket expenses.
Oh, that is most kind of you, sir. Oh, most kind of you indeed.
Well, from the x-rays, Mr. Ellinger, there's certainly no disease of the central nervous system.
Oh, somehow it would have been a relief if there was. At least we'd have put our finger on it.
Are you sure you won't have any tea, Doctor?
No, thank you, Mrs. Ellinger. The encephalogram was normal, and so were the blood tests. I've no doubt the boy's physically sound.
What about his mental condition?
Well, he's intelligent, well-orientated. His memory's a little hazy, but then there are no symptoms of mental disease.
Look, Doctor, do you know what that boy did this afternoon? He visited a private detective in Norwich... to help him investigate. He's obviously unbalanced.
I wouldn't have described him in that way.
Well, how would you describe him?
He's not specifically sick, but greatly disturbed. From the few talks I've had with him and the tests I've carried out, I'd say he was emotionally immature.
That's a little vague, isn't it?
To put it bluntly, he hasn't grown up.
He's grown up enough to go and lie to the police.
I'd call that childish. On occasions, he has a slight withdrawal from reality, but then so do we all. When we daydream, for
example. Oh, this is all so much mumbo-jumbo. Can you clear this condition up? That's what I want to know.
In time, yes.
How long?
I'm not a contractor. I can't give you a delivery date. Psychoanalysis is a lengthy process. Weeks, months, years in some cases.
I thought there were drugs you could use.
There are. Pentothal, methadrine. But it's a drastic, painful way.
Surely this calls for drastic action. My position's intolerable, don't you see that?
If it'll help to get at the truth.
But even if I use a drug, there's no guarantee.
But surely it's worth a try.
Very well, providing the boy agrees.
Where shall I go, Doctor? On the divan?
Yes, I think you'll be comfortable there. But jack it off, sleeve up.
Sure. You know, the last time I had an injection was at school. There were about 50 of us. By the time they got to me, the needle was blunt. I hope that one's nice and sharp.
As a needle.
I can't bear syringes.
I'll turn your head the other way, if you prefer.
What are you giving me?
A little pentothal.
To eliminate deception and reveal the truth, eh?
Now, that's somewhat exaggerated. Let's say it lowers the barriers and helps one relive certain experiences.
So you still think I'm lying?
Have I ever said you were? Now, just hold your arm still. This won't hurt. Now,
Just put on this lamp. Draw the curtains. Now, don't you fidget. You lie still.
Did I tell you I'd thought of suicide?
No.
Oh, well, I had. Often. But I hadn't the guts. I don't know how I walked into that police station. You know, Doctor, this may interest you. Before I left the university, I was writing a thesis on crime and society. And do you know what I think? People want their pound of flesh providing it's not from the family circle. Morality's so convenient, isn't it? How long does this stuff take to work?
Oh, not long. A minute or so. If you like to move your feet over, just squat on the edge of the divan.
Oh, do. Make yourself at home.
How are you feeling?
Oh, pleasant. Very pleasant indeed. It's nice. Yeah. I feel as though I've had half a dozen gins. The room's beginning to spin a bit.
No. Lie back. Lie back and relax.
Beautiful. Wicked.
What is it, Ralph? What are you thinking about?
That girl. Peggy. The one I killed.
Did you kill her, Ralph?
Oh, God, why doesn't anyone believe that? Of course. I killed her. We were sitting there, in the car. The windows were all misted up. I had my arm around her. And suddenly she looked older. I felt a kind of resentment stirring in me. I couldn't remember what I was doing there, but it was as though I'd arranged it all. My head was aching. I felt I couldn't go on the way things were, and I had to be rid of her.
Who?
The girl. And then I got my hands around her throat and held them there, tight. I'd show her. Yes, I'd show her. Go on. Struggle, you bitch. Struggle. Hey, for all the good it'll do you. Well, the pleasure of it. If only you knew. And then her face began to turn blue. And her eyes went all bloodshot, and she stopped struggling, and there was some blood trickling down her lip onto my hand. I wiped it on her coat.
Now, this simply didn't happen, did it, Ralph?
It did. Well, you didn't think I imagined that drive to the cliff. I was so afraid. I could hardly grip the wheel. But she was lighter than I thought, and she seemed to float through the air. As I dropped her over the edge. Then I drove back here. My father was abroad having a grand time with his beloved Ruth. And I found some whiskey and drank the lot and fell asleep. Right here. Next day. I had a terrible shock. Found the bag.
Whose bag?
The girl's. In the car. Had a broad stitching round the edge and a long shoulder strap. And I knew it was hers when I saw the initial. It was a large gilt M.
M?
Mm-hmm. I hid it in the cubbyhole and then later I threw it in the marsh. All this time. And I still. I can still hear her voice and smell her perfume. And won't I ever be rid of her. Doctor, you must help me. Now, please help me. I can't suffer it anymore.
No. All right, old chap. Now, just take it easy. Now, give me some tablets. Just hang on. I'll get you a little water. Now, take these. They'll make you feel a lot better.
Thanks.
That's the way. Now, I'll leave you a couple more. I shall take them about 9:30. Now, just lie back and try and sleep.
Well, has he had the injection, Doctor?
Yes.
How is he?
Fair. Could we go into your study?
Yes, of course, sir. We'll come along this way. Well, what happened?
The same story, only this time more detailed. You know, it's odd. Most people with delusions are inclined to deviate, embellish, distort. Yet,
well, Ralph... You surely can't believe there's any truth in his story.
Sometimes it's difficult to separate what's true from fantasy. But either way, I think I understand his motive.
You do?
Yes. This murder he describes indicates hatred against someone or some situation. In this case, I believe that someone is your wife.
Ruth.
Well, there's nothing novel in that. The substitution of one person for another often happens in a criminal act.
But Ruth, what has she ever done to him?
Nothing deliberately. But in his mind, she may have deprived him of your love and companionship.
Can't be serious. Ralph doesn't care a damn about me.
A child hasn't been born who doesn't care about his mother or father. At the time of your marriage, the boy felt rejected.
Oh, this is just psychiatric jargon.
You think so, do you? Tell me, how much time have you given the boy in the past 10 years?
Well, I'm not exactly idle. My business doesn't run itself, you know.
Yes, but you've time for parties, theatres, holidays.
Yes, and so do thousands of other couples. They don't all drag their kids around with them. Why should he suddenly go off the rails?
Why are some people accident-prone and others not? You can't generalize. The boy needed you. Emotionally, you gave him nothing. His hostility had to have an outlet. If you saw Ralph's statement, you'll notice the similarity between the girl he described and your wife.
But murder, for heaven's sake.
It may sound absurd, but the seeds of violence can't grow in a vacuum. They need a nourishing soil. It's usually found in the family. The boy craved for emotional security. You didn't give him that.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't understand a word you're talking about. I've given the boy a good home, and Ruth's done everything to fill his mother's place. But he hasn't made the slightest effort. You ask me, he started this cock and bull story to cause trouble. To create a rift. Why else should he go to the police?
The pressure of guilt, perhaps?
Pressure of guilt, my foot. I don't believe a word of it.
Under Pentothal, he described the girl's bag in detail.
But there is no bag. The police couldn't find it.
Ralph mentioned the initial M.
M?
He said it was in gilt lettering.
So?
Well, doesn't that strike you as odd?
Yes, it does, considering he told us the girl's name was Peggy.
Exactly. Peggy is a diminutive of Margaret.
Margaret?
Yeah. Now, if he was lying, why embroider it in such detail? In fact... Why mention the initial at all?
He has a more colourful imagination than you give him credit for.
Perhaps.
Look, Doctor, the boy has his failings, but to my knowledge he's never lifted a finger to harm anyone. Can you honestly believe he'd kill a helpless young girl in cold blood?
I don't know, Mr. Ellinger. I wasn't there. But we all have primitive impulses that constantly seek relief. And no one is incapable of murder, believe me.
But there's no evidence, nothing. What he said under Pentothal would hardly be admissible. There's no case to answer.
I agree, but whatever you or I believe, try and understand that he's burdened with an insufferable guilt. And this could be more painful than an open wound. And
Mr. Ellinger's expecting me.
Oh, yes, sir. Come on in, won't you?
Ah, Inspector Hadley. In here, if you would.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I believe you've met my wife.
Oh, yes, sir. Good morning, Mrs. Ellinger.
It's hardly that, is it?
No, I suppose not. But that boy's lucky. I saw Mr. Sanford again this morning. He could prosecute for trespass and the girl for assault. But they'd rather not.
Why have you come, then?
Oh, forgetting the Sanfords for a moment. In view of all that's happened, I'm of two minds whether or not to apply to have him remanded for a medical report.
Is that necessary? Haven't we had enough trouble already? Look, Dr. Rooney's with him now. He's suggested that he gets away from here for a while.
Oh, he has he? Well, I don't know whether I would advise that, sir.
But everything's arranged. He's packed. The train leaves in 15 minutes, and I've got his plane tickets.
Hmm. Well, I don't want to hold him up, but I think I ought to have a word with Dr. Rooney first.
Oh, he'll be down in a minute. Won't you take a seat?
Thank you.
Look, I'm sure you'll agree. A few months in the sun, and Ralph will be as right as rain.
All packed, Ralph?
Very nearly, Doctor.
What have you got there?
Gin. You disapprove?
I doubt if my saying yes will stop you.
You know, I have a feeling I shan't see this room again.
Now, that's nonsense, and you know it.
Is it? Tell me, Dr. Rooney, what conclusion did you reach, finally?
Conclusion?
Oh, don't hedge.
The criterion of murder is malice aforethought. I can't believe that you would ever kill anyone deliberately in cold blood.
But did I kill the girl or didn't I?
Now listen to me, Ralph. From when we're so high, we have... We all have dreams and memories that alarm and torment us.
I'm not a child anymore. This memory is real.
The dividing line between reality and fantasy is a very thin one.
Round and round and round. Don't you ever say yes or no to a question?
When I know the answer.
You're stumped. After all those tests and cozy chats we had, that doesn't say much for your noble profession, does it? I'm sorry. At least you listened. Oh, God, if they'd only charged me. It would have been so much easier. It's worse to punish yourself, isn't it? There's just no limit to one's own cruelty. I'm already building a dungeon inside myself.
In time, you'll come to terms with it, Ralph.
Oh, you're wrong, Doctor. I never shall.
I must have a word with your father. I'll see you before you go.
Dr. Rooney, this is Inspector Hadley.
How do you do, sir?
Hello.
I said you thought it would be all right for Ralph to leave.
Is that correct, sir? Is he quite normal?
What's normal?
Well, you know what I mean, sir. I'd hate a repeat of last night's little episode.
I don't think that's very likely to you, Doctor.
Well, sir, what's your verdict?
I don't think you've grounds to confine the boy. But I am of the opinion it would be to his advantage to leave here.
I see. Very well, Mr. Ellinger. He can go.
Oh, thank you, Inspector. I'm very grateful for all you've done. I don't think I need to say more.
Well, that's all right, sir. I've a lad of my own. These things can happen in any family. And but that boy's lucky he has a father like you.
Oh, Ralph, come on down.
Goodbye, sir. And goodbye, Mrs. Ellinger.
Goodbye, Inspector.
Ah, all ready, are we, Ralph?
More or less.
Well, now, don't go off without your ticket, will you?
Oh, no.
I think this should see you through for a couple of months.
What?
Well, go on, take it. Just wire me if you need any more. I'll get the car round.
Oh, no, don't bother. I can drive myself to the
station. Oh, no bother. I insist.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye, Ralph. You know where you can reach me, if you need to.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Ralph. Take care of yourself.
Goodbye.
You know, Ralph, this is really an ideal time of year for a holiday. I wish I could leave the business and join you, believe me. Ah, well, you'll know how things are.
Yeah, of course.
Still, you have a good time. Yeah, which reminds me, there's a little place about 10 miles south of Dijon called Mis Saint-Georges. It's a marvelous hotel there. You're listening to me, Ralph?
What? Oh, yes.
What are you looking at? Oh, those kids on the marshland. You think their parents should know better than let them play there. Still, as I was saying, this wonderful little hotel. Your mother and I stayed there when we were first married. I haven't been back there since, but they're bound to remember me. Why don't you go down there? Food's excellent, and I promise you, you'll be comfortable.
Pete, that policeman said we're not to play here.
Why? We're not doing any harm.
No, come on. We better go back and clear the yard.
Here, wait a minute. There's something down there in the water.
Where?
There, look.
Oh, it's only an old bag. Oh, look, careful. It's all covered in mud.
There's a gold letter on it. M.
Where? That's not gold.
Oh, look, you've made me drop it. It sunk right to the bottom.
So what? Who cares about it anyway? It's only an old bag. Come on, let's go. I'll beat you back.
In Torment by Philip Levine, the part of Ralph Ellinger was played by Barry Foster and Dr. Rooney by Derek Bond. Frank Ellinger by Rolf Lefevre, Ruth Ellinger by Barbara Bolton, Inspector Hadley, Philip Morant, Sergeant Lumsden and Mr. Preedy, Peter Claughton, Flora, Priscilla Benson, Publican, Arthur Gomez, Mr. Ryder and Mr. Carstairs, Will Layton, Mr. Denton, Godfrey Kenton, Carol Sanford, Dorrit Wells, Constable Barclay, Michael Spice, Brenda, Patricia Bendall, Daphne, Patricia Cree, David, Terry Raven, and Pete, Jeremy Ranchiff. Recorded production was by Robin Midgley. You can hear a repeat of this program in Afternoon Theatre on Monday the 7th of May from 3 until 4:30 p.m.
Now, until the news at 10 o'clock, here's a gramophone record of Walter Gieseking playing the Jeu d'eau of Ravel.
Thank you.
Now, the news follows in a few moments after the chimes of Big Ben for 10 o'clock.